Welcome to Two Guys and a Question, where Danny Jefferson and Alan Creedy challenge conventional thinking by fielding questions for more than 1,000 subscribers, all in less than 12 minutes an episode.
This is Alan Creedy.
This is Danny Jefferson.
And this is Two Guys and a Question. You know, Danny, when we arranged this time to do this podcast, you were pretty secretive. You didn't want me to know what you wanted to talk about. So what's going on?
Well, it was this morning. I came here and I was staying in a different place because I got to play some golf yesterday, and It's about an hour and a half from here. So in the hour and a half from the time I left this morning until I got here to do this podcast, a lot of things happened.
Okay.
I have saved two lives.
Wow.
In my life using the Heimlich maneuver.
Okay.
One of them was my daughter.
Okay.
And one was one of my best friends, and we were in Hawaii on a vacation.
So is now a third one?
No. That vacation buddy is on life support this
morning. Oh, I'm sorry.
And him being on life support this morning made me wonder what his life would have been like had he not, I had not saved him over the past 5 years anyway.
Okay.
But it also, it's just a lot of emotions going
sure.
on with that. They had called in his family. He's been unresponsive since yesterday. I actually called him yesterday. He didn't answer his phone, and now I know why.
Okay.
I sat down with him about a month ago. I knew he wasn't long for this world. And it was just, it's concerning. As funeral directors, we get those calls.
Sure.
And then you have your own emotions. And I'm in my car. I'm by myself. And the phone rings again. So I answer that phone. It's from a connection that I have in a nonprofit group where a lady whose husband taken his life.
Oh.
He had a Parkinson's diagnosis and just didn't want to go to a nursing home.
Hmm.
So he killed himself with a gun.
Okay.
Now, they wanted me to call him back. They were trying to get in touch with me. So I got the phone number and called the wife. And she started crying. She was really, really, really upset. The body was still in the house. Now I have my funeral director hat on.
Okay.
And I've retired from the active part of that almost a year now.
Mm-hmm.
But I still get this call. So I try to direct her attention to her family.
Okay.
Her thoughts, her minister,
okay.
You have a support group. It's typical questions, and I ask. I found out she's a member at a certain church in town. The minister's out of town for the next 2 or 3 days.
Oh.
Her biggest concern right now was getting him out of the house.
Mm.
The only reason she called me was to get him out of the house. Now you're a funeral director. And you still have your hat on. You're trying to figure out your best friend is unresponsive. And now you're dealing with someone else that had killed themselves. And I was now asked to call the funeral home.
Yeah.
And I called the funeral home and spoke to the manager, gave him the number, told him the names, and directed that conversation to that family. And the director asked me if I had heard about my friend, and I said, yes, I had. Then my phone started ringing from other people calling me and trying to check on me to see if I had heard about my friend.
Sure.
And in between that, my wife called, and she was wanting to know, and then she obviously had a connection with that couple. And you have that entire hour and a half ride on the road is now filled completely with phone calls.
Right.
We as funeral directors will never, ever get out of our role. Regardless of how we try, we're always going to be a funeral director. But don't ever forget that we're always human too.
Well, Danny, that as you were talking, I was just thinking that, you know, my next question would be, how does all that make you feel?
Well, I called the person at the nonprofit and explained to her that she should get an email out to the board members.
Mm-hmm.
But I also cautioned her not to do that until she had permission from the wife.
Right.
She said she was supposed to speak to her lady later this morning. And I said, that's good. Ask her then. Make sure. So she did something that I was not expecting. She asked me a question about, how are you doing?
Oh, good for her.
And it shocked me that she asked. It's one that we use a lot, and you know I teach that. So I was reflecting in my mind while I was trying to formulate an answer. I wonder where she learned this from.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea. But it was a great personal attention to me and my feelings by asking me that question. And we as funeral directors don't get asked that very often.
How did you respond?
I broke up.
Oh, good.
Told her, I'm really not doing that great.
Mm.
In that moment, I started thinking about doing this podcast, and I was thinking about, look, we as funeral directors are human.
Right.
When you start thinking you're Superman, it's when you're going to lose.
Yeah.
Be a human. Don't ever, ever, ever apologize for being a human.
Danny, you admonished me not to say things, but to ask you questions this morning. But I'm going to disobey you for just a minute. I think I've studied funeral directors for over 40 years now. And I mean, I have studied them. I've thought about it. I've read books. I've talked to many, many, many people. And there's a literary character type, there's a name for it. Archetype, that's what it is, that seems to be almost universal. And it's the character who is the lone warrior hero. In other words, I'm great. You're always going to think I'm great. I'm, you know, no matter what happens, I've got it under control, et cetera, et cetera. And I've often felt that for many funeral directors, their inability or unwillingness, maybe is a better way to phrase it, to, with their close companions, to allow themselves to be vulnerable and to allow themselves to be transparent and, you know, to tell people how things are impacting them is not just a release, but I think it would help the public to know that you don't go through day after day dealing with death and grieving families and it not have an impact on you.
Well, it's interesting feelings. We get them. Sometimes we try to hide them.
Oftentimes.
We always try to hide them, particularly in the public.
And men are worse than women.
We like to think that we can share those feelings to close friends, but sometimes we don't. And a great release is to just simply get it out. Get it out of your system.
It's really the only release that we have. And unfortunately, and I don't know this to be true, I've been told more than once that there is a very high degree of alcoholism and probably today substance abuse among funeral directors, potentially for this very reason. And so I'm so glad you shared this with me today. I really am glad to share this with. It's an honor when somebody is willing to be vulnerable and transparent. But I think it's an illustration to our listeners that, you know, you need to have people in your life you can go to lunch with, or you can just call up and say, I am having a really bad day, and be able to say, I am having a really bad day because I had to take care of the Smiths today when they lost their 3-year-old, and I'm just really struggling, or that, you know, I had to bury my best friend today. Whatever it might be, I think that's healthy.
Well, I'll be burying my best friend soon.
Yeah.
You can do it.
And we can help.
Remember to send your questions by clicking the link at www.twoguysandaquestion.com. New questions are answered every Tuesday and Thursday at 4:22 p.m. Eastern Time.